Welcome. This is Dr. David Kent. This is my weekly show. I appreciate you coming on if you're listening for the first time. I'm a psychiatrist in the Boise area. I've been practicing here for 27 years. I bring on various guests to talk about various issues related to mental illness. I have two guests on my show today, so I'm really excited about today's show. The first guest is Dr. Aaron Tendler. He's the chief medical officer for BrainsWay. He's a psychiatrist out of Florida. He's a leading researcher for BrainsWay, and BrainsWay is out of Israel. They have developed this new technology. I call it second-generation technology for treating various brain disorders using electromagnetic pulses or transcranial magnetic stimulation. Dr. Tendler assumed the role of chief medical officer for the company and brings years of experience in the treatment of mental disorders as a psychiatrist and has been using deep TMS or BrainsWay for about 8 years now. He's participated in numerous deep TMS clinical trials, including studies that involve looking at depression, bipolar affective disorder, smoking cessation, obsessive compulsive disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder. And in his role, Dr. Tendler has established himself with a clinical vision for the company and provided a lot of medical leadership, motivation, and guidance to various BrainsWay providers. I know I've called him on the phone quite a few times and emailed him about various issues that have come up for me. So he's really very strategic for the company and kind of spearheading, promoting their clinical programs and their research. But he brings a lot of experience. He received a BA degree in summa cum laude from Yeshiva University for his MD. He got a distinction as a researcher at Sunny Downstate Medical Center. He trained for 2 years in internal medicine and psychiatry at Tulane University. He completed a residency in psychiatry at the University of Chicago, where he was the consultation liaison chief resident and psychosomatic medicine course director. He trained in general and behavioral sleep medicine at Rush University. And in 2006, Dr. Tendler entered his private practice. Now he has three TMS centers in South Florida. He's board certified in psychiatry and sleep medicine. So he comes with a lot of credentials. He's really experienced. I've used him quite a bit, like I said. So I'm excited to have him on my show today. For whatever reason, if you don't hear my shows or don't listen to them very often, this is the first time, you can go to my website at treasurevalleytms.com. I post all my radio shows on there. I also post a lot of the other information about deep TMS, which stands for transcranial magnetic stimulation. I have videos answering questions and demonstration videos. I also write articles about TMS and about depression and other psychiatric issues. So feel free to go to my website. If you're interested in transcranial magnetic stimulation, feel like you could be a candidate, there's a self-assessment on my website as well. I also participate a lot on Facebook, so you'll probably see my posts. I post a lot on there, so like my page and follow with me, and you'll see some of the exciting things that are coming out for this type of treatment. This is going to be my last show today, so I'm kind of bittersweet for me. I've worked doing this about 4.5 months now, and I really enjoyed doing this show. I've really grown as a result of doing this show, so I really enjoy doing this. But my practice has gotten really busy. My TMS practice especially has really grown. I've started doing this about March or so of this year, and now I have so many patients in my practice doing TMS that I don't have time to do the radio show anymore. So a lot of preparation time going into the show and commitment to come down and do this recording for the weekly show. But I've really enjoyed it. So for those who've been listening every week, I really appreciate your support and listening to the show. For those who are tuning in for the first time, you can go to my website and see my previous shows and listen to any of the shows that I've posted so far. I've had a lot of guests on my show, especially patients who've come on, who've shared their experience about deep TMS and how it's affected their life. In fact, I've got Carol coming on the show today. She's a patient of mine who's going to come on the show and share her experience. So I'm excited to have her on the show today. So I have two good guests today. I think you'll enjoy the show. And I hope it's been helpful to you, those who've been listening every week, tuning into my show. But a lot of the show is focused on depression and treating depression. And the reason I do that is it's the most common mental illness that we can treat and that we see. It's a very high percentage of the population suffer from depression. In fact, over one's lifetime, 16% of the population will suffer from what we call major depressive disorder. Out of that 16%, a full one-third will not respond to medications and psychotherapy. That's why I talk so much about deep TMS and its value. When people don't get results for their depression, over time they become quite hopeless. And when they become hopeless, they start to think about life isn't worth living. Every single day in Idaho, one person will take their life. So that's why I make a big emphasis on getting the word out about alternatives to medications and psychotherapy, since a full one-third of people who go that route will not respond. So it's nice to know there's some other options for them. So that's kind of the reason I've been kind of over and over again talking about TMS and deep TMS. Most people have never heard of this, so it's important to kind of get it out there. But my website has a lot of information, like I mentioned. Feel free to go there. So I'm going to go ahead and move into the next segment. Dr. Tendler is going to come on the next segment. I think you're going to really enjoy what he has to say. It's exciting what's coming down the pike in terms of treatment. TMS will be used for many different brain disorders, not just for depression. So that's the exciting part for me. And I think in the Treasure Valley, you're going to see TMS become commonplace and mainstream. It will no longer be considered just an alternative, but it'll be the main treatment for depression and for other conditions, in my opinion. And that's why I'm excited to kind of talk about it. So stay tuned.
Welcome
I'll be back in just
show.
A minute.
This is Dr. David Kent.
This is my weekly show. Today I have a special guest on my show, Dr. Aaron Tendler. He's the chief medical officer for BrainsWay, a company that's developed a unique way of treating various brain disorders. Welcome, Dr. Tendler, to my show.
Hi.
Glad to have you. Dr. Tendler hails from Florida, and he's very busy down there. I understand you have like three clinics you have down there, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Three locations, all in the northern part of Palm Beach County.
Very nice. Well, Dr. Tendler is an expert on BrainsWay, on deep TMS, and he's done a lot of research, and so I've got a lot of questions for him today. I've talked about him in the previous segment and kind of introduced him. So, Dr. Tendler, what led you to be interested in TMS in the first place?
Well, I've been treating a lot of people with treatment-resistant depression and treatment-resistant anxiety disorders, treatment-resistant mood disorders, and treatment-resistant anxiety disorders, like most psychiatrists. But in, you know, South Florida, there are not as many academic institutions and not as many treatment options that were available. And having come from Chicago, we used to do a lot of electroconvulsive therapy, and that really was not so convenient for patients. So I was aware of transcranial magnetic stimulation, and before it was available on the market, before it was FDA cleared, I was looking into it. And as soon as the device became FDA cleared, I got one. And after I was using one for about a year, I started looking into what was available that would reach deeper, be able to treat people with, for example, Parkinson's. And at the time, the chief medical officer for the company that made the device that I was using was Mark Demetrak, and he told me about BrainsWay that was doing clinical trials with an H coil. So I contacted them, and they came out to visit me in Palm Beach. So I became a clinical research site for the H1 coil, and that's how I got more involved with BrainsWay, with deep TMS.
So you kind of initiated contact with BrainsWay yourself after you'd heard about kind of their device and what it was about. So you kind
initiated
the contact. And for those who are listening, the H1 coil for BrainsWay is their technology that they use to treat primarily depression, but there's other uses for it as well and other protocols, which we'll talk about in just a minute. So can you tell me a little bit about the research you've done with BrainsWay? I know you've done quite a bit, so kind of, and that's a big topic, but tell me kind of what you've done in terms of research with BrainsWay.
Well, primarily I've done the multi-center clinical trials. So I started off with the multi-center clinical trial for major depression with the H1 coil, and we finished that, and it became FDA cleared. And then I finished a multi-center clinical trial for the H7 coil for obsessive compulsive disorder, and we submitted that for FDA clearance, so we haven't heard back yet. Hopefully we'll hear back within the next 3 months. And we have ongoing a multi-center clinical trial with the H4 coil for smoking cessation, and a multi-center clinical trial with the H1 for bipolar depression. We also had a multi-center clinical trial combining the H1 with antidepressants and doing it on a less frequent schedule, 3 days a week, which we finished, which was good. We submitted that for publication, we have a clinical trial using the H7 coil for people with post-traumatic stress disorder 3 times a week. We've done other smaller studies, which are not multi-center studies. We also have a study with the H7, comparing the H7 to the H1 for major depression. So we're people with depression, we treat them either at one location or at another location. And on the first treatment, on the last treatment, we also do an EEG on the patient to see if we can tell during the first treatment whether the patient's going to get better based on the EEG combined with the TMS. And we've done some other, more case, I'd like to say, case reports or smaller investigations. Not multi-center studies.
Preliminary type studies to see if there's any benefit. For some other conditions you might want to study more extensively. So that's the first I've heard that you use the H7 coil, because that's kind of been designed with OCD in mind. That there must be another circuit you're treating for depression with that, because there's several circuits involved with depression, right? When we treat with the coils. With TMS?
Yeah, so there was a study that was published in Nature Medicine, for example, that showed that there's probably at least 4 circuits for depression. So I actually published, I think it came out this year, may have been at the end of last year, a case series of, it was 15 patients who didn't get better with the H1 that we treated then subsequently with the H7. And I think 9 out of the 15 got better with the H7. So we know that, for example, that some people's depression is not located in the left prefrontal cortex. Their depression is probably, the treatment key to treating them is located in a different area. So, some people it might be treated in the insula. So some people's medial, some people's left lateral, some people's in the insula.
So if someone fails one particular protocol, then you could switch to another protocol and maybe take some of those ones that are not responding, and maybe they'll respond with a different protocol. So
exactly.
BrainsWay is developing different ways to approach the depression. And so it sounds like that the remission rates could potentially go up if you can kind of move around to these different circuits until you find one that's responding. So that would be exciting.
Exactly. And what we'd like to do is we'd like to not have people go through a whole treatment course only to then switch and do another treatment course. But we'd like to know in the first treatment, if we combine it with EEG, we'd like to know, is this person going to get better? But we're still a few years away from that.
So try to identify some biomarkers, essentially.
Exactly. A biomarker, an a priori biomarker, like a biomarker before or at least during the first treatment saying, we need to try a different location. So we're hoping to find something like that in this current study that we're doing now.
Cool. Well, if you're just tuning in, I've got Dr. Aaron Tendler on my show today. He's out of Florida. He's the chief medical officer for BrainsWay, which is a company out of Israel that's developed Deep TMS, which stands for transcranial magnetic stimulation. He's heavily involved on the research side as well as the clinical side, doing a lot of treatment. So I really appreciate him coming on the show today. You kind of indicated some of the upcoming research. Sounds like you got your hands in a lot of pots here. You've already finished the OCD product research and published it, and going for, and then PTSD, is that kind of the next thing on the horizon, would you say? Post-traumatic stress disorder?
Probably, yeah. The next disorder is post-traumatic stress disorder that we have our eyes on, post-traumatic stress disorder. But we, you know, it's hard for us to really predict which study will finish first, whether it will be the smoking study or the PTSD study or, you know, or the, but yeah, probably PTSD is the next study that we think will finish.
Finish next with the results.
It's really, when, you know, BrainSway is not the biggest company out there. We're still fairly small. We have about, I think we have some, about under 90 employees still. Most of whom are in Israel, but we have, you know, between 10 and 20 employees in the United States. The person to ask about that is the North American VP. He knows exactly how many employees we have in the United States. But basically, the way we work is we have to decide to focus as a company, although we have these clinical trials going on, when we, the company needs to focus on whichever study we focus on, that's the study that we think we usually can get to finish in less than 2 years. The other studies kind of work at the pace that the investigators, which are various, you know, research and academic institutions, take it at. So,
okay.
So that's really what limits the speed of progress is the recruitment of the patients into the studies. But hopefully we hope to finish, usually we hope to finish, you know, at least one multi-center study a year, you know, to try to expand and move the field of transcranial magnetic stimulation forward.
Sure.
In a significant way.
Sure, that's labor intensive. Now we're going to take a break here for a second and come back in just a minute. I've got Dr. Aaron Tendler on the line with me. He's a medical doctor, a psychiatrist, right by training, and he's
Welcome
works with BrainSway. So we'll be
Dr.
back
David
in just a minute.
Talk with
my weekly
more.
Show here in Boise. I've got Dr. Aaron Tendler on the line. He's the chief medical officer for BrainSway, which is a company that produces a unique coil. I call it a second-generation device for treating depression and other brain disorders. It stands for transcranial magnetic stimulation. BrainSway, I think, is on the cutting edge, in my opinion. Dr. Tendler does a lot of research as well as clinical work with the company. He has three clinics in South Florida, correct?
Mm-hmm, correct.
So he sees a lot of patients down there. He's really, really busy, and I really appreciate him coming on my show today. He's been describing some of the research he's been doing, and some of it's pretty technical. There's these different helmets that BrainSway makes, and each helmet has unique coil configurations. The H1 coil treats primarily depression, but there's other protocols that it's used for. Now there's an H7 coil that they use for obsessive compulsive disorder and possibly other things such as post-traumatic stress disorder. So really appreciate him coming on my show today. So do you see any other indications for deep TMS that we haven't talked about so far? You mentioned Parkinson's. And what other things do you think are going to be coming on the horizon?
Yeah, so in the future, we hope to use, again, this is all in the future, because as you know, everything has to be studied. And then, you know, in a fashion that would be appropriate for FDA approval. In the future, we hope that deep TMS will be able to be used for most neurological and psychiatric conditions, but most neurological conditions. So, for example, stroke rehabilitation. Somebody who has a problem with a stroke that they're weak in the hand or weak in the leg or has trouble with speech. For example, someone who has a lesion from multiple sclerosis or fatigue from multiple sclerosis. You know, you mentioned Parkinson's, you know, potentially another issue. Another thing that's really on the horizon is people with Alzheimer's or other neurodegenerative conditions potentially could benefit. Another thing that's been TMS has been used quite widely for is chronic pain. So there are several targets in the brain that work on the interpretation of pain, and you can help people with chronic pain. You know, and another thing that hopefully we'll be able to help with TMS is addiction. So
can you mention some of the addictions that they've shown some promise for?
Yeah, so most of the data has been with smoking cessation, but hopefully we'll be able to help all the addictions. And, you know, although it hasn't been studied yet with opiate addiction, but hopefully opiate addiction as well. I've had some benefit even with people with stimulant dependence, you know, cocaine dependence. So. These are all examples of conditions that we know where in the brain we may want to either, you know, what we call modulate, either stimulate, inhibit, you know, or interrupt, you know, like, so then we want to go ahead and, you know, we can target it, you know, using transcranial magnetic stimulation. All the movement disorders, things like that. So TMS is basically, we're going to look at the brain the way it is, primarily an electrical organ. You know, it sends its messages electrically. So what we're doing with transcranial magnetic stimulation is we're inducing electrical activity in a specific area of the brain. Using magnetic pulses, we're inducing electrical activity. So that's what we're doing, is we're going to target through magnetic pulses.
Okay. Well, that was going to be my next question, is about the mechanism of action for TMS. And so inducing electrical activity, we're stimulating the neurons. And from my last meeting I went to in San Diego, there was a lot of talk about the circuits and different brain circuits for different disorders and how the brain is interconnected that way. So when we're stimulating the cortex, we're also stimulating the deeper structures in the brain. Do you want to comment on that a little bit?
Yes, for sure. So the mechanism for transcranial magnetic stimulation is basically that you have in the magnetic coil or the coil, just we have a coil which has current going through it. And the coil basically is wires. We have wires that have current going through it. And the current comes from the stimulator. As the current goes through the wires, there's a magnetic field that goes around the wires. And when you pulse the current, you're essentially having a magnetic field or magnetic pulses that induce in an underlying conductor. And the brain is a conductor because neurons can conduct electricity. You can induce a current in them. And when we say induce a current, you're inducing an action potential, which means causing neuronal firing. When you do it over the motor cortex, the part of the brain that's responsible for motor action, you can see movement. For example, you can see movement of the hand or movement of the foot or movement of the neck or movement of the face. If you're putting the wire, you know, over that area of the brain. If you do it over a different area, then you would need another tool to see that it's actually happening, you know, such as an EEG or a different tool if you wanted to see it. But what we usually do is we test the amount of power that we need over the motor cortex, and then we use that amount of power or a stronger amount of power over the other area of the brain that we can't visually see. So we then use our knowledge of the anatomy of the brain, and when we see the anatomy of the brain, we use the knowledge of the structural circuits and functional circuits, meaning the wire connections that go from, for example, the prefrontal cortex down to the basal ganglia or other areas of the brain, areas that are connecting between action and areas that are planning for action, areas that are responsible for inhibition or areas responsible for memory. And we can decide whether we're going to try to stimulate those areas, whether we're going to try to interrupt them, or whether we're going to try to inhibit them. And the amount of stimulation that we do, whether we just do it for a few pulses or whether we do it for many pulses on multiple days, results in a longer acting or just a brief, you know, interruption. And the circuits of the brain are susceptible to the way we are in that moment. So, for example, the circuits are that are responsible for cravings or desire are going to be more active to somebody, something acting on them, like magnetic pulses acting on them, if I actually am craving whatever it is at that point in time. So if you're, for example, craving a cigarette, those circuits are going to be more active when I give you the cigarette and you haven't actually smoked in a few hours. And you're holding on to the cigarette and you're thinking about the scenario that you normally smoke in. If I then act on that, I stimulate those circuits at that point in time, the activity will be altered more than if, for example, I just stimulate those circuits without having given you a cigarette.
So by creating a, I guess you call it a provocation. Is that what you, is a cigarette a provocation?
Yes, we create a provocation.
What would normally provoke the brain to do something like smoke or be, have a craving, and then you apply the transcranial magnetic stimulation to the part of the brain you think is important, and that sort of helps, I don't know if extinguish is the right word, but extinguish that those thoughts or those or the anxiety associated with it in some way.
We have a greater ability to alter it during time that the that those circuits are active.
Yeah, so we can alter it a little bit in such a way that we can reduce the, that habit or whatever that people develop over time, that addiction.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, well, that's exciting. You know, it's exciting because it just seems like it's kind of wide open what we can do in the future with brain stimulation. We're just trying to understand the circuits better and how they're how the brain's so interconnected with itself. And even by just treating the surface of the brain, which seems just the cortex, we can get other areas of the brain still. If the deeper structure still can be affected. So I kind of see from where I sit that the brain stimulation treatment is going to increase exponentially in the future. I just wonder if brain's ready is ready for that growth, because I think when it hits, it's going to hit pretty big. So do you think brain's way is ready for this?
That's literally what we do all the time.
Yeah, yeah. So you think they're ready, and I know you've been working hard on it. I'm excited. I'm new to the BrainsWay family, essentially. I started using BrainsWay in March of this year, and I've grown very rapidly this year. So I'm on to my third device here this week. It's going to get fully hooked up tomorrow. So I'm on three helmets at this point. So just started in March. So I'm excited about the growth. I think the people in our Treasure Valley here where I live, I'm seeing great benefit. I'm getting really high remission rates and high response rates. So I think the patients are doing great. I've got a patient coming on in a few minutes in the next segment who's going to share her experience with BrainsWay and the deep TMS. So, well, I appreciate you coming on the show today, Dr. Tendler. It's been awesome. You're the expert, and I really look up to you and all the hard work that you put into this, and it's going to make it possible for patients to get help in the future for conditions that we normally would struggle to treat or would use medications only or had really no other remedies for it. So really appreciate all the hard work you do for this.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, you have a good day, and I'll be talking to you another time, and we'll go ahead and end this segment, and I'll catch up to you later. So thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. So this is Dr. Kent. I'm going to go ahead and end this segment, and I've got a special guest coming on the next segment.
Welcome back to my show. Dr. Kent,
if you're tuning in for the first time. I'm a psychiatrist in the Treasure Valley, been here for a long time. If you've been tuning in for multiple shows, you know that I bring a lot of guests on my show, and I'm really excited to bring on various people to come talk about their own personal experience with depression and what they've been through, and they're just regular people who go through the same thing that you go through. So I'm excited to have Carol on my show today. She's consented to come on. A little nervous, but I think she'll do great. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you.
So let me ask you some questions and start out by a little bit of background. Tell me a little bit about yourself and how old are you and about yourself and family or things like that.
Okay. I'm 65 years old. I have two children. My daughter is 37. My son is 35. My husband was in the military for many years and served over in the Mideast for 12 different tours.
Wow.
Some of them only lasted 6 months, and some lasted nearly a year, but was in every part of the Mideast, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Turkey, Emirate States, Qatar,
and he came back safe and in one piece?
Mm-hmm. His last tour was in Afghanistan.
Wow.
At Bagram Air Force Base.
Now that's serving your country. That's impressive.
We're proud of him.
You should be. Very proud of him. So let's talk a little bit about you. And you came to me. How did you find me in the first place?
I found you on the internet.
Okay, so you kind of did a search and kind of found
me. I did a
me.
Search. I'd heard about what you do or the process. They had a clinic in Salt Lake City, and so I'd read about it, that a year ago.
So I had a little bit of preparation coming into it. So you came to me because of depression.
Yes, I did.
Let's talk a little bit about your depression. Tell me what you go through with your depression in the past. What did you experience? What was it like for you?
Pretty dark. All right, got pretty dark. I've had some depression since I was in my 20s due to, I believe, migraine headaches. I started having migraine headaches when I was 10 years old, but they didn't get really bad until I was in my in high school years. And when you have migraines, I believe that it probably causes depression, and they normally give you a light antidepressant. But I have been on at least 4 different antidepressants, and they never helped. My depression got really bad in 1996 when my father was diagnosed with ALS. And helping my mom take care of him while I was working. My husband was overseas at that time and stuff. He passed away in October of 1998. My mother, both my parents had never been sick in their lives. They never missed work. They were really young looking and really in love. But my mother went to California to be with her cousins, and I got a call about 2 a.m, and she'd had this major heart attack, and I flew down there. I was voted to fly down there from my sisters, and she passed away before I got there, and I believe she just died of a broken heart. I really didn't have time to grieve because I had to make all the arrangements to get her home. And she was the kind of person that did a lot of couponing and stuff. And I remember flying home thinking, Mom, you're really going to hate this because you didn't get your money back and you're flying in a windowless seat. And I know that sounds my kind of weird to some people, but our family kind of has a funny sense of humor. But my depression just got worse and worse. My children noticed it. My husband really noticed it. And I did not want to do anything about it for a long time until he just said, we have to do something. Medication is not working for you. So,
what symptoms of depression did you experience?
Isolation. I got where I love to read, and I got where I couldn't read at all. My job was a very multiple task job. A lot of things went into my job, but I got where I couldn't think. I couldn't multitask. Usually I had 4 or 5 assignments on my desk, and I couldn't remember, and I couldn't finish my tasks, things I needed to do. So I decided to, I had 38 years at my job at that point, and I just decided to retire at age 57. That helped a little bit. For a while.
But you had to retire early because of the depression.
Yes.
You probably would have worked longer if you could have.
I would have, but I couldn't handle,
So there was an economic impact of the depression on your life.
It was an impact on my children. I remember at my daughter's wedding, and everybody was celebrating, and I went back into a little room and just sat. I didn't really feel the joy that I should have felt.
So you withdrew yourself.
Yes, I didn't. I did not like to be around people. And towards before this last couple years, I didn't want to go out of the house. I didn't want to go grocery shop. I didn't want to do anything except sit and stare at the TV, which I wasn't really even watching. It was all I could do to do household chores, to communicate with people.
So just basically existing.
Just barely existing.
It got really bad. Well, if you're tuning in for the first time, this is Dr. Kent. I've got Carol on today. She's talking about her experience with depression. So we're going through that and kind of talking to her and her background. So it sounds like your depression really just got wound up to the place where it got really bad. You had to basically retire early, which is an economic impact. You were socially withdrawn and isolated, didn't want to be around other people. So it impacted on your relationships in a negative way.
Very much so. I have a group of girlfriends. There were eight of us who've known each other for many, many years. And they really noticed it because I used to be the clown in the group. And I just was so sullen and so withdrawn that they all were they were worried. And they would talk to me, and I denied all of that. I just wasn't myself. I was really testy all the time. I was angry, too, but I couldn't climb out of that.
So you tried at least four medications and some counseling along the way.
Yes,
correct?
I had some counseling. That just didn't seem to work for me at all. Mainly, I think, because I wasn't really open to talking about really deep things or feelings.
Okay. So how did you find deep TMS? You said you found it through the web search, I guess. You said you found it that way. So you came to see me, and now you're receiving deep TMS. How is that going?
Great. I feel so much better. It's amazing to me how much better I feel. I'm reading again. I'm doing household chores. Two of my neighbor ladies commented on how much different I look, and which was kind of a shock to me, but that's what they said, that they really noticed that. And my husband is just, he's thrilled because he thinks that I'm pretty much back. I do have a few down days, but not
like before.
No, I can shop. I'm going
shopping. How far along are you in treatment? You're pretty far along, right? You're getting towards the end?
Yeah, I have about, five or six more treatments.
Five or six more treatments. Mm-hmm. For those listening in, a typical course of deep TMS is about 30 to 36 treatments. Patients come in once every day from Monday through Friday for 20 minutes to get treatment. And so Carol's been receiving those treatments from our staff and from my team. And we've watched her transform, too. We've seen her go from being pretty sad and withdrawn to happy and joking and smiling. And so that's the transformation we see every day with patients coming through. It's always exciting for us to do that. It doesn't feel like a job to us. Feels like something that we just love to do. So I'm excited to see your progress.
Thank you. I'm glad that you were there for me to finally find something that worked for me.
Yeah, no, that's what it's for. And that's what I tell the people on the show is it's an alternative to medications. It can work and stay working over time, even when we're done with treatment. That's the exciting part of this, is it can stay working. We call that durability. Medicines don't have that. When you stop a medicine, the depression usually comes right back. Mm-hmm. With TMS, we hope it sticks, and most of the time it does. So as you're getting towards the end here, we're going to still probably give you a call here and there to make sure you're still doing okay.
That would be wonderful.
Because we enjoy seeing you and coming down. So, well, I'm excited. I'm glad you're doing well with the Deep TMS. I'm glad it's changed your life in a positive way. Anything else you'd like to tell people out there who've been through what you've been through?
Well, I would highly recommend seeing Dr. Kent and TMS. If you've been through lots of other treatments, counseling, or different medications, because it has really helped me, and he and his staff are wonderful. I think they're great, and I truly think that TMS is a miracle, for me anyway.
Well, good. I appreciate that feedback, and so I'm going to stop right here at this moment and let you go. I appreciate you coming on the show, and this will air next Sunday, so I'm going to wrap up today. This is my final show. Like I said earlier, it's kind of bittersweet. I really have enjoyed doing this weekly show. I've grown myself, trying to find my voice talking about these various subjects and talking about depression and deep TMS. And my primary motivation for the show has been to reach out in the community for people who may not have Facebook or on Facebook very much, or may not be on the internet that much, or for anybody to hear about Deep TMS, that it's a treatment that's available for people who don't respond to medications or don't respond to counseling or who don't want to try medications. It's a non-invasive, localized treatment for depression. The results I've seen have been just truly amazing. In order to see if you're a candidate for Deep TMS, you can go to my website at treasurevalleytms.com. There's a self-assessment on there that just takes about 1 to 2 minutes, and it'll give you an immediate answer whether or not you're a candidate or not for TMS. In the future, Deep TMS will be used for many different brain disorders, so you're going to hear a lot about it. It won't just be from me, but it'll become what I think is mainstream treatment. So that's something I want you to keep in mind, and I want you to support the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill. They're a national organization, but they have a local chapter. They're advocates for the mentally ill. If you know somebody who has depression, or a family member, or if you have depression, reach out and get help. There's no reason to suffer. Patients can get better. The patient I had on today, Carol, she's had decades of depression, and she's doing so well. And I've had many examples of those on my show. So I really appreciate you tuning into my show for week after week, and for those who've coming on for the first time. But go to my website or go to Facebook and follow me, and I'm going to keep on going, and my TMS practice is doing very well. So thank you for tuning into my show. This is Dr. Kent. I appreciate your time to listen to my show. Thank you.